Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey friends, Pastor Joe here. We want to welcome you tonight to your show, Raising Expectations. We count it a privilege to have you with us tonight. Thanks so much for your texts and messages that you send. And we're excited to know that God's working in your life. And again, he's raising expectations. Everybody, as you know, on the team here, we're born again Christians. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent his only begotten Son to do something, and that was to die on a cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. And the great thing about that is we know he's only a prayer away. We know his presence is with us. We know that when we die, we're going to be with him. So we know we've got it next to us every day in our life now, and we know someday where we're going. That's pretty good insurance to live in life. And that causes us to say, hang on, strap in, because he's got something special planned for your life. So again, thanks. We covet your friendship and your familyhood. There's a fancy word for you, huh? Just made that up. Write that down. It might sell someday. I'm raising expectations, and it's great to have you with us. So tonight we're going to look at our family and share again, because many of you do come in for the first times, and you have asked me questions. So we're going to start on the West Coast once again. We always go to Lompoc, California. And as you know, as regular, that's where you find Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a counselor. He's done just about everything, and God continues through all that to shine through his life in a special way to everybody he meets. Paul and I have been friends for so many years. He's just been one of those constant blessings and sources of joy in my life, and also one of those guys that really knows me, so I got to be nice to him. But anyway, we look back at our times in school together and everything else. We go back a long way. Good to see you, Paul, and we're praying you feel a little better. Yeah, he's a little under the weather tonight. We're going to just pray you back through this. So, and I hear a cough like that is a sign of extremely high intelligence.
That must be it. Yeah.
That's definitely it. So, all right. And moving there from the West Coast in Lompoc, which is near Santa Barbara, if you're somewhere in New York on the East Coast tonight. But we want to go all the way across the nation, and two of our favorite people in the world are not with us yet. He's concluding a Bible study, but you know that's Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Tank Thayer, or Craig Thayer, and she, I'm just going to take you before I go there to our website, if we can do that, TJ, our engineer there in Houston, Texas. Take you right to it, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on the site, you recognize Doc from last week's program. You'll find on here each of the folks that are on our team, and you'll get an idea about who they are, what they do, and you'll find a lot of things that she'll share with you later, and you'll be able to get to know the folks a little bit better. Also, there's a special page there, a lot of pages now, of each of our programs over the last 5 years, and you'll be able to just click on those and either listen or watch or whatever you'd like to do during the week. Many of you tell me that we didn't get to see you on Monday night, but we follow you during the week. We just click in whenever we want. And thanks to BBS Radio TV, you could do it right here on this page. And last week, there it is, Dr. Buckingham, and you'll find our special guest tonight on there beginning this week again as they prepare so that you can be there. So on this site, you'll also find Steph Graham and Steph Thayer, that was close, G to T, not too close, but there's her site you'll want to see. And Live Your Life Out Loud is the name of her page. And she just helps women all across the nation, becomes a friend to them, and gives them great insights on understanding who they are and what God's doing in their life. You got a problem? I got the answer. I got a friend who knows the road that you're going down. She shares Christ with people, other ladies, in such a wonderful way. So you'll want to find her site there, Live Life Upside Down. And you can get that information on our site. Go directly to her site too and see what she's doing. And you'll be glad that you did. Also, her husband, Tank, Dr. Craig Thayer, you'll want to find him. He's on our site. He has written a great book called Saved, and you'll find that at bbsradio.com/racing expectations. And that book is called Saved. There it is. One trauma surgeon's a true account of the miracles of his life. He's a great trauma surgeon. And of course, as you probably know, a trauma surgeon is someone who they go to when some of the surgeons aren't quite sure what to do. And he's a great godly man who says, Lord, I just pray you give me insight and show me quickly what we need to do next. In this book, Saved, you find a lot of stories about how God worked in the ordinary things of his life. And that's where God is in our life when we search him out, working in the ordinary things of our life. So you want to get a copy of that book, Craig Thayer, Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary, and you'll find it in your life too. Right above it, appreciate it. My book is there, Legitimate Faith, producing what kind of hope and authentic hope. A hope that helps you crawl out of the potholes of life and you find the hand of God lifting you straight up out of those. You find what you learn from that, how you grow through that, and how you're stronger because of that, because your faith is empowered. So faith is something you plug in, turn on, and watch God illuminate the road in front of you. Faith is a great word. It's an acrostic, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. He'll never let you down. Hope you'll look into that book also. And thanks for those of you that have a copy of that. So that's also on our website right there. So they'll be with you pretty soon. If we go from Dalton, Georgia, where they live, and we come back across the nation, we'll come to what's called Central America. Another way of saying that is Texas, in Central America. And there in Texas, you find in the great metropolis of McKinney, you'll find one of our favorite guys in the world, and that's Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer. There he is. He ran for Congress. He's a great counselor of men now with Man in the Mirror. And you'll find him also on the site. And you'll find that he is our director there, helping men to understand who they are in Christ. And like he says, you go through things in life, but God has a purpose for every one of them and helps men to see, you know, God's got a grip on my life through the difficulties I'm going through. Ron is the guy that the love of God flows through him, and he helps people to know, I got a friend in Jesus, and I got a friend in Ron Greer. And that's the thing that really counts in life. And we hope to be friends with everybody that way. He'll help you get your expectations being raised also as you work with him. Lead with a purpose. Do all that God calls you to do and watch what he does next. So this is our team tonight, and we're excited. Pretty soon, we expect any minute, we'll get the Thayers will be clicking in with us. In fact, I kind of see them. There we go. Speaking of him right there, speak of one of God's special men. Speak of the devil. There is Dr. Thayer right there, and that's his book we've been talking about. Good to see you, Craig.
Good to be here.
All right. And then there we go. There's Stephanie. All right. And we've just been talking about you and your books and your website and sharing with the people who you are and how much we love and appreciate you also. And like I often say, this is a group of people that, hey, bottom line, blesses my life every day, blesses my life as I think about who they are, what they do, and how much they mean in my life as brothers and sister in the Lord and what they're doing. So we're all together here tonight, and I know they were doing a Bible study. Tank just blesses people's lives all the time. He's continually helping men to see who they are, just like the guys in this page with him. And of course, Stephanie is there right alongside. We call them the dynamic duo, and we call the five of us the dynamic remember last week, Ron?
Cinco.
It's not. Oh, Cinco. It's not quad. What's after four?
Quattro.
The dynamic quattro.
That's
four.
Greek could be penta something.
We don't know. We don't know what we are.
Pentuplets.
Pentuplets.
Well, there's five of us, so it works out good anyway. So there's the
penta.
Penta.
Yeah, there we go. It'll pass. That'll work good. So tonight, we, the Dynamic Five, for you, a very special guest. And I know many of you have been checking this week. I've heard from you once again. You're so thankful that Janet's back with us. Janet Price is with us from Southern California there in the San Fernando Valley area, Southern California. She is the president of the Golden State Republican Women, the GSRW. And Janet, as you know, she has done so many things in leading these ladies to find what their potential is. She'll share some of that. There it is right there for you. And they are just in support of all the, like we like to say, common sense politics that we're trying to bring back to the great state of California. There is some of her team that she works with there, and they do an incredible job in bringing about what we stand for as godly people in a nation today, and what Republicans are really all about. And from schools to business, to adults, to believing the Constitution, what it stands for. And she organizes all of this. So along with this great group of ladies and many, many others. So it's always a privilege and it's always a pleasure. And I get to say this too. She's been my friend since high school. We were in drama together and this and the other, and the school is still there.
But you were a cheerleader and you're still cheery.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff together. Yeah, and there she is again. Yeah, that's great. So, Janet, we want to bring you on with the round of applause that Stephanie gave us years ago. And we want to welcome you. Here we go. Welcome to Raising Expectations. No other show and all the things that you do will give you a round of applause like that from our hearts. So we're just excited. Maybe share, open up a little bit about what you feel about what's been happening and what's happening with the elections and how President Trump is here now and I'll be prayed for.
First of all, it's such a privilege to be on with all of you very accomplished patriot believers. It's just amazing when I hear Joe talk about all that you have done and are doing. And I just say thank you for inviting me and including me on tonight, because it's a real honor. It's a real honor. But I am so filled with excitement, as you can imagine. That Joe said, tell us a little bit about how you feel. And I thought, did any of you guys want to talk tonight? I don't think so. It's just been such an amazing time. I feel America rise. And I've never seen such happy people in my life. And I'm in California. It's hard to find really, really happy people. But all of a sudden, there is like a huge paradigm shift. There is a shift. And people are, I don't know, maybe it's just in my area, but I'm finding people are more civil with each other. People are more patient with each other. People are more optimistic. And this just happened in the last week. I mean, if you think about it, the inaugural was 1 week ago today. That's it. And so much has happened that you can barely take notes of everything. But it is shock and awe, the way we've experienced before. But those of us who have been praying for the return of our country are not shocked, because this is what God does.
Amen.
Does give us second chances. And I believe that I heard, is it Pastor Jeffries who was with President Trump the day of the inauguration? And he said, I believe God has given America a second chance. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of that, if he hadn't, I was kind of looking forward to the rapture. I mean, anytime. So I'm a little bit disappointed that we're still here on earth, but we're in the stream of God's will. And it is so amazing to me how you put all the pieces together of this amazing puzzle of this time of our life. And I think God is so precise that he had Donald Trump born 78 years ago. So he could be schooled and raised in all that he was raised for. So he's prepared for a time like this, but that he came in exactly when America needed it. And it's breathtaking to me, but all through the Bible, you see how precise God's timing has always been. I'm left wordless. And so it has been fabulous. I'm working with a team now that could not be happier because I was kind of talking them off the ledge the week before because they didn't trust that things would necessarily happen the way we thought they would last time. I said, look, God's still got it. He's got it, regardless of what happens. So we did go up to Riley's farm. I just threw out a big invitation to anybody in GSRW or independent people or other Republican people. We had Tea Party people. And I didn't know who was going to show up, but it was amazing. It was so packed that we had to move tables and chairs and they were the most excited people ever. And they were hooping and hollering and dancing and throwing their arms up in the air. I have not been to some, I can't remember a time that there was a party more celebratory and happy. And every time Donald Trump would come through a door, everybody would yell. Every time he said an applause line, we would yell and scream. And it was the best ever. I didn't know about Riley's farm. It's owned by a family. And I sent to Joe, Jim's little retrospective. The day after the inaugural, he said, well, now I can tell you what my family and I have been through. He had kept it to himself. But he was there on January 6th. And because of that, he had been put under such pressure, such attacks, such constriction of his business. He has schools that come around up there to the farm where he reenacts the war, the Revolutionary War, the our war here between the North and the South right now. I'm so excited. I can't even think. You guys are going to have to fill in my words. But they wouldn't let the schools come up there. They shut it down. And that was his business. So he was so excited to have us come up there and for it to be as wonderful as it was. It was almost like a christening of a new day for his business and a new day for America.
Man.
You don't want me to keep going. I won't run out of enthusiasm.
Yeah. And
I can say in my lifetime, these 60 some odd years, I know for a fact, not a single president has ever done this much in this short period of time.
Wow.
He's done more in 6 days than most any other president has done in 4 years.
Isn't it amazing?
And the impact is absolutely just stunning. There, for instance, as I said before, I know missionary folk around different countries. It's still, I have a friend that was in Nigeria. He went to Nigeria. They went for a wedding, a family wedding. And his deal is nobody wants to talk about anything other than Trump. They are absolutely ecstatic that Trump has gotten elected and stuff he's doing. And I'm going, you're in Nigeria. But he said it's the central news focus there. So his brother works for a very high up elected official. And then the other is part of the guy who runs the country. But even among the leadership of the country, they are ecstatic that Trump is elected. But then the opposition to the government are terrified that Trump is elected.
Yes.
I'm going, you can't get a better endorsement than that. And that's just in one country. I know people from five different places. They watched the election, they watched the inauguration and the executive orders closer than we did, I think. They're all absolutely stunned.
So his effect is not only on this nation, but it is
worldwide.
On the world.
Worldwide.
As you said.
It's just unimaginable, but it's like the whole world was holding their breath, waiting to see what happened.
Politico has not ever been known to be a conservative publication, but they have said this week that President Trump could probably be the most, what did they say, impactful president since FDR.
Yes, yes.
They're saying he is that.
Yes.
I mean, we're in for huge changes, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I am too, and I appreciate your take on God's hand in this, because it's one of my contentions have been that Trump is a tourniquet, just a little break to help us recover, and primarily I'm sorry, but me I charge the church. God has given you a breather to kind of say, okay, now let's get to doing what I call you to do. I'm gonna give you a chance. Give you a little break here, because basically I've shaken you, and now I'm giving you a reprieve. But I don't think it's going to last forever. So if we don't get our act together, I can see God coming in and says, "Okay, you know what? I gave you an opportunity. I told you, and you still refuse. You're still hard-hearted." And I, you know, throughout biblical history, that doesn't end well. Ever ends well. So yeah, I agree with you. It's a tourniquet. It's a reprieve. To give us an opportunity.
Well, I think I told you guys before the quote from Jim Caviezel that he described President Trump as being the Moses to lead us out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, I believe we can have more of a future. Can. Now, I don't know whether we will, Paul, but I mean, Ron, excuse me, but I do believe we can. And I mean, God's timing isn't like ours. A day to him is nothing. A thousand years to us is like a second to him. So I don't know how he is going to work, but it's exciting to see his hand moving. And I also believe that there is a Jesus revolution coming. At this time, absolutely. I believe it is absolutely going to happen.
Amen.
Well, we have the... I think what is the largest increase in Bible sales, I think, in modern history in the last, 8 months, I think it is? Among young people, primarily young people, yes.
Yeah,
never before seen.
It's interesting, Ron, that you said that. I was speaking, so you guys know too, you remember Charles Lingerfeld, the Christian Times magazine, which now is over 2 million worldwide. He's the voice in Kurdistan. He was really well known as an ambassador. He ran for Congress twice. He's going to be on the show again in a week, but twice coming up here. But Charlie said, he said, Ron would like that. I thought of Ron right off of this one. He said, do you know the biggest revival for the Lord Jesus Christ right now is not in China anymore. It's actually in Iran. And he said, the Kurds are telling us it's coming in the underground out of Iran to Kurdistan. And they're reaching, they're being saved. People are under the cover coming to Christ by the thousands. And in light of all that's happening, look at what you're saying here. Trump is being brought in here. Populists are being looked at, listened to in Europe. Everything's happening in the Middle East right now this way. In fact, Denise Gary Pandall, who is, you know well, she's coming back with us in March. She's doing a lecture series on this right now. All the things are going to position kind of like what you were saying, both of you there, that what would happen if Iran turned this whole thing off and came to Christ, make a powerful Christian nation there all of a sudden, and all because they're all looking to Trump, like you're both saying. It's amazing what's going on.
Well, you know, there's a, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Janet. Sorry.
No. I don't want you to forget. Go ahead.
I would say that the headquarters for Iran Alive is a ministry that's headquartered here in our area. So 2 years ago, they've seen something like 375,000 Muslims come to Christ in Iran.
Wow.
And he has a, if I should say this on the air, but maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, they have one of the largest sort of churches anywhere. And it's primarily by satellite. And for him and also some of my friends at the Hope Center of the ministry there, one guy even wrote a book about the number, I mean, the literal thousands and thousands of Muslims who are seeing and hearing Jesus in their dreams and coming to Christians.
Amen.
And give
Yeah.
their lives to the Lord. It
Wow.
messed my theology up when he first started talking about it. We kind of debated back and forth, but it's like there are thousands and thousands. You go,
Yeah.
Okay.
My
I
great
guess
aunt.
God can get out of my box, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
my great aunt was a doctor. Pardon?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say she was a doctor at the turn of the century, but a Christian missionary too. And she married a man who was a doctor and a Christian missionary. And where they went was Iran and Iraq, which back then was Mesopotamia.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I still have her passport that says Mesopotamia.
Oh,
but it was amazing to hear her talk about. She and her husband established the first American hospital there. And I heard her stories all throughout my childhood about everything that was happening in the orphanages there and all the Christian wonderful things that were happening of people coming to Christ back then.
Yeah.
So I think things can surprise us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, there. So I still have at least a handful of friends from my campaign who are Iranians. They were their parents. Well, one group's parents fled Iran during the 1970s, during the thing fail, and then the others were escaped through another country, came here themselves as teenagers. But most people, if you're not old enough, you won't remember the Christian sort of presence in Iran. This modern sort of, it looked a lot like America, a lot like it. The amazing transformation it took through the wickedness of the Shah army and through the Muslim takeover of land. Like to this day, they still call themselves Persians. They won't call themselves Iranians.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But I go back again. They're still have family there, and they're absolutely ecstatic about what God's doing.
Yes.
That's beyond anybody's imagination.
Yeah, isn't that surprising?
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I was just saying, this is so like God. We look one way, and he's busy working somewhere else. And that is so like him. He's not predictable, can't put him in a little box, no matter how much I try. I say, oh, please, God, put him in this little box, please. But he, just to let him be God. Let God be God.
Yes.
And whatever happens every single day, you know, there will always be the gnashing of teeth on the other side because this is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And that's not going to stop. So we have had a great victory, but the other side is just waiting. And we know who has the victory in the end. So I'm not worried about them. I'm just saying, come on, bring it on. It is warfare. But we were told it would happen. But I'm very excited actually to see it happening quickly.
Yes.
Some people my age said, well, I won't see it in my lifetime. Yeah, we're seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to make it. We're seeing it. Wow.
It is the best.
Thank
you. Yeah. I think you hit it on the head, Janet. So about over a year ago, I was in Uganda, and 75 Ugandans and 3 Americans asked, hey, you got 3 American guys. Why don't you just ask us some questions? The first question was, it seems like your country's taken over by Satan.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And
wow.
Now, like what you just said about Nigeria, they're jumping for joy. I guarantee you, so are the Ugandans.
Yes.
He's been shot down, right? So the second question, which was the same, similar, now hopefully stalled and reversed, was, you guys are such a benevolent nation. You give so much away. How can you afford it?
Yeah. You just print it, son. You just print it.
Inflation.
That's right.
Well, and on that note of how can you afford it, you know, this last week we were with one of our kids is a senior and he had a retreat, and every year we go into the mountains of North Carolina, and the town that we go to is Black Mountain. It's heavily devastated. You've seen a lot of the footage from very close to there. We didn't realize that Trump would actually be a few miles away from where we were while we were up there. And as a group collective, as a school, we were volunteering in the community and just serving and helping. And they were shocked that there were families, that there were kids that wanted to help, and just devastated. And how quickly on Trump's arrival, we had funds and people were out of tents all of a sudden for Americans, where before we had no money for Americans, but we had it to go to fight wars across the country, you know. And one of the things I appreciate so much about Trump's presidency is that he's doing what he said he would do. And
Amen.
how rare is that today in our political climate, which is such a shame because that shouldn't be rare. And he's delivering so effectively, so quickly. Craig knows each evening, normally I go and read and I'm like, I just have to get on and see what he did today. Like, there's so much to read because I don't even know what he did, but I know it's going to be like 80 executive orders I need to read. And I'm so excited.
Exactly. Yeah. Drawn into this now. And then he flew from there to Los Angeles. And I think Los Angeles and California is going to turn. And I'm not saying it's because of the fire, but God uses everything. But I think this is turning everybody's mindset that they relied on for years and years. This is my mindset, so don't mess with it. And this is the way it is. All of a sudden, it scrambled, and they're going, "Wait a minute, I could be wrong. I could be wrong." So when I saw President Trump sitting next to Mayor Karen Bass, and even Gavin Newsom greeted him on the tarmac and gave him a hug and gave Melania a kiss. I mean, I know that's politics, but I'm going, oh, for Pete's sakes. You know, it just drives the mainstream media crazy. Of course, you're already
It's
crazy.
well,
Crazier.
God has a be in it when you had somebody who's now hugging the dictator
Right.
he's hugging a dictator and kissing the dictator's wife. You know,
Oh, yeah.
God's done amazing work there.
Exactly.
I also think you have to look back and wonder why is it? I mean, there's lots of answers, so I'm asking open-ended questions, but why is it that he was not elected consecutively? And what is the result now that he's elected, you know, with a gap term? And if you see how he's come in and how Melania has come in, they know what they're doing. And I personally love seeing Melania by his side. And I don't know if you heard the clip, but he said, well, she really wanted to go to North Carolina. And so I said, well, then you have to go to LA because that's where we're going. And she said, fine. But you see her out and she's talking with people in multiple languages and smiling and loving on them. And I thought, this is so good. They know the system. They don't care what people think at this point. That's a really good position, I think, to be in, to make the decisions that are right for the American people that he has heard from all over the country.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that because I think it's a great demonstration over the last 4 years of society setting the morals, right? So
Society doing what? Say it again,
setting
sorry.
the morals. So, and they keep shifting, right, rapidly to away from Christianity. So, and you saw another great two tests in Oregon. Let's make all drugs free. No crime, no nothing. How'd that go? Clearly horribly. And then what do you do about law enforcement? Let's just let everything go and not arrest. And then you see, teachers burning libraries down or courthouses or just immoral behavior, right? That through people who are supposed to be teaching your kids. So, so I think that's been 4 years of just, hey, let's see what happens when you let society just run amok.
God is a God of law.
Right.
He is a God of laws. All through the Bible, there were boundaries on everything. Even nations had boundaries. It
Interesting.
wasn't just, you know, the Nirvana, no laws and no rules, and every, you know, if it feels good, do it, Timothy Leary. No, that's not God's way. And I think we had to have that 4 year break, as bad as it is, was. It was still going to be reaping repercussions from it. But I think we needed that to reset. people's eyes, their ears, their hearts. They had to have a change in order to see how quickly a man of integrity can turn this all around, and how we were being lied to. And we know who the father of all lies is.
Amen. That's right.
That's what this is.
I thought it was profound on the world scene, how when he made that great proclamation that in the United States of America, it was amazing, earth-shattering. There are two genders, male and female.
Well, I mean,
believe it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Count, the guy's kind of out of it.
Listen, a 3-year-old could tell you that, okay?
Yeah. 14 years. Then he turned around to what Stephanie and Tank said. I thought it was great what he said, because I agree with that. Ivania and he together, as husband and wife, backing up what he said, standing with the people. And I loved it when Trump got that twinkle in his eye, looked over at her, and she had just tapped him on the cheek. And he goes, isn't she beautiful? And he goes, you know, he goes, I know I'm in real trouble when she calls me Mr. President. And she goes like this.
Yes.
People need that. America says, yes, that's what it's about. That's what it stands for. I thought that was good.
What? You think? I'll go. With, I think the other advantage of the 4 years of him not being, and I, again, as terrible as it was, I'm almost happy. Part of me is happy he didn't get elected, because if you know certain people, and if you see those people being chosen by Trump in the first election, his first five selections told me up front was he's either naive or he's a phony or he's over his head. He chose the wrong people for the first, probably the first years in office. It took him a couple few years to kind of figure out the swamp there. He had people who basically recommended to him to surround and control him. But he learned the first 4 years. And then the second 4 years, while he's sitting out, seeing the system even more, the swamp, more dangerous and more vicious than he thought it was. He knew it was. So come back, now he comes back, eyes wide open, you know, understanding he's got a short period of time, understanding he can't trust anybody from that elite group. So he chooses folk who are completely against the grain. Because, I mean, the bottom line and the message to everybody is, we're about to break down the walls and we don't care what anybody says. I think it took that 4 years of him out of office to understand that.
I think he learned. Amen. He learned definitely, because he was quite, he was a babe in the woods when he first came into politics. His politics wasn't his background.
Thought he understood how this works. I'm in charge. I'll run the business.
He's actually said that himself, hasn't he, Ron? He said, I didn't know.
Yes.
And I know now. But not only did he have to learn, America had
we
to.
We had to, yes. Yes.
Amen. So now America wasn't with him during his first term. And all this now has happened that has proved him right. Yes. No conspiracy theories. They were all right.
Yes.
And now, not only has he changed, and I think become a more godly man. And he has said that attempt on his life really changed him.
That kind of does, kind of wakes you up.
I think so. But now America is ready to embrace his policies.
Yes.
And they're seeing the truth in what he has always said, but now he has it with conviction.
Amen. Yes.
You gave me another segue. So, I don't know if you remember listening to the end of the RNC.
Yes.
But there was an opera song.
Yes.
That opera song is from a movie titled The Sum of All Fears.
Oh.
I watched that movie again knowing that.
Okay.
It's just after the assassination attempt.
Wow.
Watch the movie and think about that now.
Who is in it, Tank?
Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
I forget what the other stars were.
Yeah, Sum of All Fears. Yeah.
I did not see that.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, James Cromwell. It's a good cast.
Yeah. So.
Looks like a guy movie, Janet. Prepare yourself.
It
That's all right.
Hey, it is a guy movie.
It is a guy movie. But,
trust me.
When he was at the RNC, he had the bandage on his ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it had just happened, just like you
the
said.
Music implies something very important. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does. It does.
Yeah.
He's very, I mean, he's very purposeful in what he does as far as the music, who he sits with people. I mean, he's just, he's got a big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Always has. And to, I see that God always was preparing him for such a time as this, you know, like an Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, I felt most of us did, who were, you know, patriot believers, that we were on the precipice of the abyss.
Yes.
And it felt like if we had lost this election, that was it. We'd be in the abyss.
Yeah.
But God was gracious and God was good. And he allows us now to look back and to see his hand in everything, even the hard stuff. Right?
That's right. The hard one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful too. I don't know which one of you said, but grateful for those 4 years of really terrible stuff.
Yes.
But he will restore the years the locust has eaten.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yeah.
We looking at the, let's see. What time is it? Let's see here. It's 6:45. Keep on rolling, folks. How about that?
Ignore the clock. Ignore the clock.
Going.
Ignore
keep
the
going.
Clock. Just keep going.
Paul, what do you have to say, Paul? You're always on.
Oh, I was just.
Oh, there you
go. Got a cough.
I think two or three things are important here. I think the biggest word in front of us now is if. You know, if we will remain faithful, if we will keep our eyes on the Father, if we give credit where credit is due, you know, if we are willing to persevere and to hang in, because not everything is going to bend our way, you know, in these in these 4 years, certainly. And there's, you know, all that's happened, well, not all that's happened. A big thing that's happened is the hornet's nest has been stirred up. And, you know, as people see what things really are, President Trump certainly needs our prayers. I think that's important. We keep the cover over him because that's just absolutely essential. I've been curious to watch some of the reactions of what people, for example, Selena Gomez, crying her eyes out on social media, you know, because
that's something. Oh my gosh,
what's going on? And then I saw a response to that saying, "Well, she's a billionaire and has a pretty huge place. I mean, she wants to shelter some people, you know, she might have considered." There's such a level of infantile hypocrisy. Does that make sense? You know, it's and the last thing. That I'd like to say, you know, before y'all dive back in on this, and I've really enjoyed everything you had to say. I think the thing that's really interesting about watching President Trump when he speaks, I always have to come away, go, and in my head, I'm going, what do you think he means? That's just so dumb, you know, because he says what he means, and people, they don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
You know, he said what he means, and he means what he says. And, you know, here it comes. So get ready. And so that's so refreshing because, you know, before President Trump, it was a matter of if his lips are moving, not Trump, but if their lips are moving, they're lying.
They're lying.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So and I remember when you were with us the last time, Janet, that was one of the things that we did manage to talk about, you know, is the way that things were perceived and so backwards as to what we were hoping and praying for. So I'm just glad we're finally in a point, you know, we need to pray for people like Pete Hegseth, you know, he's gone through the fire just to get where he is right now. And he keeps saying, you know, I'm the commander in chief has spoken and this is what we're going to do. And we had, oh, help me out, folks. Kurt Schlichter talking about, you know, if the first day that he moves into the, that Hegseth moves into the Pentagon. He says, this is how it's going to be. And if you can't deliver, I'll find somebody who can. And that's refreshing. You know, that's just refreshing.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So
we haven't had that for a long time. Oh, and the other thing that besides the, you know, daddy's home. Okay. Now we've got a real late leader, but he is all about exposing in the light what has been done in the dark. Mm-hmm. So he's now releasing the files on JFK and on RFK and MLK.
People are
perhaps
freaking out.
Jeffrey Epstein. So there are people who are going to be like cockroaches running because
already
they're
started.
Going to be exposed. Pardon?
Yes. That's already started. Some of those people, roaches have already started. Squirrels.
Yes, they have. And this is, I mean, he is such a disruptor. They've said he's a disruptor. Yeah. Good. We needed disruption.
Well, that was part of my disappointment because I was hoping and praying he'd be this disruptor the first time around. And I realized I was really, really disappointed. And my friends
we were
worked
too
there,
early.
I told them so.
I think, Ron, it was just too early. It wasn't God's timing yet. We had to be prepared. He had to be prepared. America had to be. We're a different nation than we were 4 years ago.
Well, I think so, because I think, like you said, I agree with you. The first 2016, people celebrated and set back because he's going to do it all.
He's going to do it.
And what people didn't understand was he can only do so much. If you don't have this, if you got your own party fighting against you in this House and the Senate, and you got the bureaucrats fighting against him, he's limited what he can do. If, on the other hand, if the Senate and the Congress knows that there's a hornet's nest out here about to ready to attack them, that's a whole another mentality among their part now in this time around than before. As no matter what they want to say about January 6th, January 6th shook them up.
Yep.
It really shook them in Washington. No matter how they try to play it off, it literally shook them. They had no clue that the how they would reverberate throughout the country, because again, the plan was to set this up and this insurrection, and then they would sweep Trump along with it, and all the opposition they'd be gone. No one predicted this groundswell in the rest of the country, the rest of the population.
That's
saying,
right.
Yes, we're with, feel the same way. So all of a sudden, now you have politicians who wouldn't before, Mitch, the number of who blocked things Trump wanted to do, who now themselves are quietly on board, even though they don't want to. There's a quote, George, I think his name, Batali, and I forget the guy's name, but it says, come on, Ron, think. Is there no greater desire in the heart of a man than a wounded man? And that he seeks out more wounds. That makes sense? So the idea is that there are things that hold us back, and you kind of want to do this idealistic, and then but then the pain that comes along with doing those things calls you to hesitate. But once a person is wounded, once a man is wounded, it's like,
amen.
What the heck? I'm wounded now. Now it's like he pushes forward,
keeps going forward,
and he takes on proudly the new wounds coming. And I'll say, back in the day in the military, those were the guys, the Audie Murphys and guys in combat. It's like once they got wounded, once things kind of hit the fan, it's like, hey, let's go for some more.
I have the quote from dangerous. TJ. You ready for it?
Yeah,
TJ,
go ahead.
The win. No greater desire exists than a wounded person's need for another wound.
That's it.
Who was the originator of that quote?
I think George Batali, I think his name was.
Batali. Yeah, George Batali is his name. That's how you say it. He's Indian.
That's new to me. I love that.
There it is.
Jump in. Go ahead, Ron.
T-A-I-L-L-E.
Yeah.
T-A-I-L-L-E?
Yeah.
George.
B-A-T-T-B-A-T-A-I-L-L-E. Okay. Yeah.
L-I-L-L-E.
Thanks, TJ. That guy's brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Thanks, TJ. You are the best. We got the best engineer in the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to jump in here for a second. And you just look right here for a minute. I got to say something that's really, really important. I've had a robbery. I've had a bank account thing that's just drained an account. And I'm in a situation right now working with everything. And I've never done this before, but I need to get the word out to all of you and the response. And if there's any way, I'm going to kick this to Steph. She's our specialist. But if you want to Zelle, if God laid it on your heart to Zelle or anything, we have some commitments to BBS and some others that we're coming through on. Some of you last week did. Some of you, precious lives I talk about, and some of my brothers in the Lord and families. But we need some help. And you could Zelle me, and that number is 972-922-8556. I don't call myself very often. 972-922-8556. You can Zelle. Some of our guests do that. But I'm going to kick it. If you would pray hard about that in a little while, maybe God would lead you. We need to catch up a huge chunk that I used working closely to cover our program. Steph, could you give a quick word? We don't have much time, but you got a minute.
If you go to the website for the show, you can learn all the goodies there is to learn about us, which is at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. So I'll just highlight the part about financial giving, which if you scroll down just a tiny bit, you'll see that yellow donate button, the QR code for Venmo. So that's the PayPal Venmo. And there you can even contact Pastor Joe directly right there. So any donation is really helpful. It does take money for our amazing engineer and publication and all that they do. You saw TJ working behind the scenes for us. So we really appreciate that. Our heart is that this is a ministry. The goal is not to be funding our own pockets. It's to get this farther out on the airways. So just know that the money that you donate is used very wisely, and we appreciate that generosity. Prayer is always the best. We appreciate that. Small amounts add up. So don't feel like, you know, if you have a little to give, that is not something that is desired or honored by the Lord, because it is.
Amen.
Let me just add one thing too. I mean, I don't know if you've ever gone through this experience, but Steph and I have. When you wake up one morning and we were planning a trip. Oh, sorry. And you find an account completely drained.
We've had that.
It's not a great day. And that's what's happened to Joe.
Yeah. Thank you. True. So I have a verse for you very quickly. You're going to like this, guys. I love it. Isaiah 60:22. God says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So sleep in peace tonight, because we know God's in control. He's proved it in what we've said tonight. Janet, we just love and appreciate you. You're the best. And hang on to your hats, ladies in California, because you've got this thing rolling, and we're praying for you. And
I can be with all of you. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Jana. And I can't say enough about the people you're looking at tonight, folks. These people, I love every one of them. They're special. And pray for them. Lift them up in prayer, because God's using them. And we'll look forward to seeing you again, same time, same station next week. And that's the verse right there we're going to hold on to. So sleep in peace tonight, because God's in control. So, in the words of somebody famous that I just made up, have a great night and a great week.
Good night. God bless.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, folks. God bless you. We'll see you real soon. Get well, Paul. I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.